This is the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
I'm a big star, you know.
Listen live weekday mornings from 5 to 8 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play ESPN New York 98.7.
One pick and a Super Bowl champ with the man they can't seem to stump. Do something dumb, that's an observation. CLT make him need to run.
That's Lawrence Taylor!
Cut him every trash, DMT for short. Wonder if we best, why don't you peep the score? Sports Center E, gonna be top stories of the morning. While you're yawning, grab your coffee, rise and shine with 98.7. This is Drive Time. We provide highlights from your favorite teams. Dave, Chris, and Rick making plenty of picks. It's Rule 76.
Oh, it is Rule 76, and it's a Friday, a wonderful Friday here in the New York metro area. June the 11th, 2021. The show is DCR. We're without the C today. It's DiPietro and Rothenberg with you right here on 98.7 ESPN. But at 6:45, because I know your first thought is, wait a minute, people. Wait a minute. Isn't today getting to know Chris Canty at 6:45? We will still play, and we will explain how we will play at 6:45. But I say good morning to my partner in crime, Rick DiPietro. Good morning, Rick. How are you?
Good morning, David. I'm doing well. Whatever you want to call last night's sleep. I went straight rigor mortis. It's like, you know, one of those nights when you don't even remember falling asleep, you just wake up?
Yeah, they're almost all of those nights. Yes. that's pretty much the life that I lead. Yes. When you're just lying in bed and all of a sudden you don't realize that you've actually fallen asleep. Yes, that happens very often. You must have been exhausted as the day went on yesterday.
Yeah, I had nothing left. Like, it didn't stop. As soon as the show was over, I mean, we had stuff going on all day. Then we had baseball last night. We're going back-to-back days. Little League Baseball, back-to-back days.
Wow. That's a lot for six-year-old baseball.
Oh, yes.
Wow.
This is big time.
Somebody's tempting fate.
Yeah, but it's fun. Milo loves it. The kids love it.
And you're coaching? Are you coaching in this Little League Baseball?
Of course. Well, I'm going to let you be the only one having fun. GM and yeah. I mean, you're the assistant coach GM. I have to participate. You feel guilty.
Oh, absolutely. How about the parents that do nothing? How about this? So Sherry coaches the lacrosse team she has for years. We show up. Well, I wasn't there because she shows up earlier than I do to do the whole pregame everything and warm them up and all that stuff. But there are parents there, fathers there, who watch this poor woman lift the goal by herself and drag it from one side of the field and position it where it needs to go, and do nothing to help her. How about that?
Oh, it's time off, Dave. That's what it is. It's drop the kids off, have them time off. When I used to do my goalie clinic, I would do two different sessions. Like, and this was one of those ones where I went in with the best of intentions, and then ended up being there. Like, I think it started 8 or 9 in the morning. We didn't get done until probably close to 5 or 6 at night. But it was going to be two different sessions, like two separate sessions. So that way, each day I have one practice laid out. So I have, one group of kids in the morning, run a practice, and then I can run the same practice in the afternoon because it's going to be a completely different set of kids.
Right.
Oh, no, that's not what happened. It was, no, we want to sign them up for both sessions because we think they need it. So now 50% of the kids are there for both sessions.
It's like daycare.
The entire day.
Yeah, it's like daycare. It really is unbelievable. Some of the parents are remarkable. So we have a lot to do today. 800-919-3776. Yankees. That, and I don't want to get into it yet. We'll start with the Nets. But that was as bad a loss as the Yankees have suffered all year long. And Chapman was brutal in a short outing. And now you don't even play tonight. And now Stanton can't play this weekend. And then you don't play Monday. So, awful heading into the weekend for the Yankees. But I said this to you minutes ago when we were doing the Zoom call, getting ready for the show. If last night's Bucks-Nets game did not have importance tied to it and surrounding it, I would have turned that game off at halftime. That was a horrendous basketball game that had a lot of meaning.
Yeah, no, you're not wrong. I mean, that was a must-win for Milwaukee. And I'll tell you what, coming out of that game, I mean, and you mentioned it, that's a ton of missed shots. I mean, there was some good defense sprinkled in, but a lot of wide-open looks that were missed. I mean, Brooklyn didn't shoot well at all. I feel Milwaukee won in a game they had to have.
Yep.
I feel worse about their chances now than I did after the first two games.
They have zero chance. And phone lines are open, as always, 800-919-3776. They win the game. And I almost felt embarrassed by their fan base, and I guess I shouldn't. They were going crazy. And I felt like tapping someone on the shoulder and being like, excuse me, buddy, you're not going to win the series. Your team looks like dog, you know what. The series is over. I can't believe that the Bucks are so bad in these big spots.
Well, yeah, I mean, outside of, I mean, Middleton had a really good game, especially down the stretch. I mean, Middleton closed that game out for the Bucks. But I mean, outside of him and Giannis, and they scored 79% of the points for the Bucks last night. 79.
And I mean this sincerely. And we always say this. Have you ever seen anything like this? Have you ever watched a basketball game where two guys scored all but 18 points in the game?
Not that I can remember, no. Not that I can remember.
18 points.
I know. When we saw what they did in the first quarter, I mean, the Nets are awful. But, I mean, listen, I almost actually bet you yesterday. I thought that Milwaukee just, and this was, did I think Milwaukee would win? I knew they had to win, but I wanted some juice going into the game because the series doesn't feel like it has much
so
juice.
So let me see if I get this straight. You think, let me get a wager and, oh, let me just turn to Rothenberg and get that done? You
well, think no,
I'm,
I was going to.
Bookie?
No, I was going to ask, here, listen, you're wearing off of me. This is what I wanted to do. So I thought there was a chance that Milwaukee would win, right? Because this was their only hope. They win this game, okay, maybe. If we hadn't seen what we seen last night, they're back in the series. So I said to myself, I can kill two birds with one stone right now. I can add the juice, and I can also help out the kids. So what I was gonna do, since I'm, you know, I already wrote the check for the Canty Foundation for the $250, I'm gonna send it. I was gonna bet you another $250 for the Canty Foundation.
And what was the wager gonna be? You were gonna take the Bucks, and you would have given me the Nets.
Yeah, I would have given you the Nets for $250.
Yeah, but here's what would have happened now. Because the old gambler would have come out in me, and I would have said, all right, I'll do that, but the Bucks are giving 3.5 points, so give me the points.
No, but we weren't doing it just straight up. We're going to start doing
Well, I don't think I would have done it without that. Why, no, I wouldn't do that.
You would have. It's for the kids. Stop.
I'm not giving $250, just a random $250.
By the way, too, yesterday, I thought that the Chris Canty playing the clarinet was probably the biggest epiphany we've had on the show so far.
Big
since
stuff,
we've been
yes.
doing this thing. No, it wasn't. It was not. I got asked, I can't even tell you how many times yesterday, about Canty not tipping Uber drivers.
He was so forthcoming with it, too. It's like, Chris, why did you have a bad rating? Well, I didn't used to tip the Uber drivers.
Everybody, bye, losers!
Everybody tips the Uber drivers. How is that possible? Did he not? Now, let me just go here. Because maybe there's a defense of him and maybe there's not. Did he not know that was the expectation to tip the Uber drivers?
I'm not sure. I would imagine. I mean, he's not cheap. I mean, I would imagine that he didn't know you were like obligated to do it.
I don't know. I mean, does he tip cab drivers? Does he tip waitstaff? How far does this go?
No, definitely waitstaff. I mean, I've been at dinner with him. He tips waitstaff and he's a really good tipper. Listen, I'm telling you, and I'm not even lying. I got asked probably 5 or 6 times yesterday about that. And everyone couldn't believe it. And I'm like, listen, I'm standing outside of the hotel in Houston. We're at the Super Bowl for 15 minutes. Then it's 20 minutes. And finally, I'm like, see, give me your phone. Like, did you put this address in right? And I look at it, and I'm not even lying, Dave. It's the Super Bowl, right? So, like, Uber is active, like, fully
They're
active.
They're swarming you like
They're
sharks
swarming
in the water.
Us. Yes. It was almost like Pac-Man when you're like in a corner and they're all like just you have nowhere to go. There's cars everywhere. Not one would pick us up. Not one of them.
So what did you have to do? Did you have to use your phone to call an Uber?
Yeah, I had to go with my Uber.
Oh my God.
Yes.
So they didn't want any part of it. Now, I want to get back to the Nets, but I do want to mention this because you were on KJZ right after we did our show yesterday. And
yep.
I sat because I wanted to avoid going upstairs because Sherry's going to attack me over the dogs and their behavior. I wanted to sit downstairs as long as possible, and I did. And I watched and listened to your interview conversation with the guys on KJZ, and I thought that it was great. And I thought you did a terrific job as I fully expected. Rick, you need to find whoever is working with that picture they have of you and either hurt them or demand that they eliminate it from society. You don't look well. And I texted this to RJ. I mean this sincerely. You look like a young Charles Manson. You're a good-looking guy. You might be the best-looking guy at the station. For the fact that that picture is floating around of you looking like that, you have to eliminate that picture.
Dave, that's the media guide picture, Dave. That's the Islanders media guide picture.
That is a
for that
horrendous
season.
Photo.
Oh, it's awful. That was the end of it, though. I told you. I was like 185. I was gaunt.
You
had
you,
that
you,
gross.
You, honestly, if they said what's wrong with him, you'd say, "Oh, that's like he's a make a wish, right? Like he's someone he's just not well." You did not look well.
No, I did not look well. And it was funny though because I was asked that question too, like, "Why do you look like that?" This is by reporters, and I would make the joke. I would say, "I mean, if if we're going to win the Stanley Cup, it's going to take Jesus to win this thing. So I might as well look like him, like joking. And people would laugh and think it's funny. And then now I see that picture and I was like, oh my God.
No, it was bad. You honestly, you needed a friend. You needed a friend like me. You needed a friend to say, this is awful. You need to do better. Why would they possibly use that? We've taken how many photo shoots in a closet with Jeff Scopin?
Yes.
Right?
Yeah, no, I said that to, I said that to Alan yesterday.
Jeff Scopin.
It's like every 2 months we get the phone call or the email. Hey, we need to do more headshots, more show shots. I haven't seen one of those. Not one of them.
No.
I got that picture with KJZ. I go on the K show. I got a picture from like, I don't know, 5 years ago, maybe more than that. Probably 6 years ago when I had I was still had pregnancy weight on me from Milo.
God, I haven't seen the one on the K show, but the one from yesterday was I would eliminate that from public use. That was I mean, I'm honest with you. I'm always honest with you. That was really I was so the interview was really good. And at the end of the interview, I couldn't even remember a thing you said because I was so taken by how bad that photo was. It was terrible. And listen, they probably dig through the internet, I would think, right? Or they have stock photos. They couldn't find another one. Like somebody there on the TV side is like, yeah, let's use that one. It's just it's a bad picture.
No, but why isn't there? Here's the thing, though. Why isn't there? I mean, we're taking all these pictures. You can't upload those pictures to like the ESPN database.
Yeah, I don't know.
So everyone that works for ESPN, you just pop up their picture?
It's a terrible, terrible look, much like the Bucks. So you said it, and I agree with you. I might feel worse about the Bucks' chances after Game 3 than I did after Game 2. I'm sorry. They have no chance to win this series. If you wanted to make that bet, even though I don't gamble anymore, that I would make with you for charity for the Canty Foundation. The Bucks have zero chance to win the series.
Yeah, that's what's amazing. Like, I mean, you can explain it away. Like, we know that the Nets can score. They just had an off night. They didn't shoot well at all. Like, Durant missed a ton of open looks. Joe Harris was
brutal.
Oh, he was awful, dude. He had that 19-footer late in that game. They're up one, would have put them up four, and it was an open look. Oh, would have put them up three, open look, and he missed it. And then the whole debacle at the end with the inbounds pass and, you know, Bruce Brown missing floater after floater. But, I mean, you know they can score. Like, we know that Brooklyn can score. This is back-to-back games. I mean, they won the game, but this is back-to-back games where Milwaukee scored 86 points in back-to-back games. Like, offensively, they have issues. Giannis from the free throw line is an abomination. Abomination right now. That's the second time I've seen him get called for waiting too long to shoot his free throws.
He does it all the time. I mean, he always goes over the 10 seconds and they actually got him last night. But offensively, Milwaukee was... Because you know that the Nets are not going to play like that offensively. You know, that was the unicorn. That was the outlier. That's not going to happen consistently. I don't know that Milwaukee can score a lot more than 93, 95 points in any game. They are totally broken offensively. They have two guys that you buy into and two guys only. And they scored, what, 68 of their 86 points last night?
Yeah, I mean, Drew Holiday wasn't great, too. I mean, he had a rough first half. But, I mean, how many times are you going to see Kevin Durant? We always talk about how efficient he is as a scorer. I mean, he had 7 points in the first half of that game. He was 2 of 10. I mean, Kyrie and Kevin Durant missed 30 combined shots. I don't see that happening very often. And I think that's why I think that most people that look at this Nets team said to themselves, especially with Harden healthy and when he comes back, is that, you know, even if two guys have an off shooting night, you still got the other one. Like, it's not going to have, like, all three aren't going to have a bad night. But that's why it's going to be so hard to beat this team, you know, four times.
I think it's impossible. If Harden comes back and he's healthy, there is no way that they're going to lose to anybody, to Phoenix, to Utah, to anybody in this postseason. Here is Kevin Durant kind of agreeing, echoing what we said, very encouraged for the rest of the series, even after the loss last night.
Yeah, I mean, I like how we defended all game. I like how we, we rebounded all game. You know, we didn't let our missed shots dictate our defense, especially when we got down big. And when we tied the game up, we couldn't score for a few possessions like 4 or 5 minutes to go. And I mean, I think we got good looks, a couple that were open that we missed. But that's part of the game. I just like how we stayed with it. And that's what we're going to have to continue to do in this series is stay with the game, stay with our plan, stay with each other individually, guys missing shots. And then we still encouraging one another and, you know, keep playing. So our defense has to be there no matter what.
Do you remember when we would have the conversations months ago and would say, do you think they can just turn their defense on and flip it on a switch? I think the answer is yes. Like, they are focused and energized and aware on defense, and they've played really well defensively in this postseason.
Yeah, I mean, this is And again, we, I mean, Canty and I tell you this all the time. I know that was the question going in. I had the same questions. Because, I mean, the other thing was the continuity, right? But a lot of defense is just how hard you're trying, like, is the effort. And you see this team when they're locked in. I mean, defensively in the series, they've been really good. Defensively this postseason, they've been really good. So, yeah, I mean, this again, I mean, we, I don't know how many times you want to hear me say it. Like, what this Nets team is doing, man, it just, it spits in the face of
everything, you've grown up believing.
Yeah, I mean, it just, like the regular season doesn't matter. Playing together doesn't matter. You know, how hard you try during the regular season doesn't really matter. If you have, you know, this collection of talent, when they decide they want to play at a certain level, they can turn it on.
If Harden was healthy in this series, you would have a clean sweep. I think it's just that simple. If
clean
Harden
sweep,
was
Dave.
Healthy, you would have a the first two games weren't even competitive anyway. Game three came down to the wire. If he plays last night, that's a 15-point win for the Nets.
Dave, you're talking about a Nets team that shot 36% and 25% from three. And they probably should have won the game, and they lost.
They should have won
points.
The game. When Durant hit that three, I thought to myself, Nets are going to win. Milwaukee's a fraud, and it's the same song and dance year after year after year. Now, to their credit, they came back, scored a couple baskets. I don't know why the Nets kept going to Bruce Brown down the stretch, but whatever. That's now done with. I imagine that this series goes five at the most. Six.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
You're absolutely right.
Catch the show on demand wherever and whenever you want. Just subscribe to us, rate us, and review us wherever you get your podcasts.
You're beautiful. You're beautiful.
I see what he's doing to you, don't you? He's mocking you with the headshot on KJZ yesterday.
I don't hate the song, though.
No, it's
I know
a great
what he's
song.
He's a troll like that.
That's what he's doing. He's mocking
well, this
you.
This is what he does in the offseason.
Who's mocking?
When,
you.
When he doesn't have the NFC East to troll, this is what he does.
You did not play this song with the absolute intent for it to be played for Rick right now.
It was absolutely played for Rick. I didn't play it to troll.
Oh, stop it. You saw that photo yesterday.
You said it was very beautiful.
Yeah, I think he is beautiful. But
so
I,
there you go.
I think that photo was horrendous yesterday. Do you deny that?
It was not his best photo, no.
No, it is not my best. No, that's my headshot from my my Twitter that I can't change because I don't know how to shrink pictures. You guys, like RJ mocks me. People mock me about that Buddy Christ picture, and no one will help me change it.
I think everyone would help you change it.
I have no idea.
Anybody for help?
Yes.
You said, RJ, help me with this picture. I want to crop this up. And he said no.
Yeah.
Because all I have to do is say no, and it stays there forever.
Yeah, that's right.
You guys are bad guys.
You're that reliant on RJ that if he won't help you change your avatar, now that's it. It's locked in.
It's locked in because I've tried numerous times.
How'd you get it up there in the first place?
I don't remember. I think Han did it for me. I don't know how to do it. I wanted to do the DCR thing where it says, because I like the logo, the DiPietro Canty Rothenberg logo.
Right. Yep.
But it's too big, and I try to shrink it, and I can't fit it in the little circle.
Let me tell you something, though, bud. Even a mismatched DCR logo photo would be better than that.
Well, you see what? Look at the zoom. You see what Han bought me.
Well, hang on. Let me look at the zoom.
See it?
Here. No. For some reason, I can't.
It looks just like me. It's the Buddy Christ doll.
It's really. I mean, I can't believe you ever looked like that. Were you with Cass at that point?
Oh, yeah.
And she allowed that?
It's her fault. Yeah, she allowed it.
See, that it really is her fault.
No, because she's the worst. Because she's like, oh, you always look good. I'm like, no, tell me when I don't look good.
Yeah, no, that was... I would have told you. I would have straight up told you. You look terrible.
But this is what I try to tell you. You're like, oh, you're not a good friend. That's a low bar.
Well, I don't think you
have to be mean
about
it.
You tend to be. You tend to be mean all the time. I'm not looking for that, but I'm just some semblance of honesty. And the honesty is there. And it was not a good look, even a little bit. By the way, your fancy Islanders... semifinal schedule is out.
Oh, yeah.
I was spot on. I said a little Sunday afternoon action, and boom, there you have it. Sunday, 3 o'clock, Islanders at Lightning, a game you can hear right here on 98.7 ESPN. Tuesday, you're going to love this.
No, I don't love it. I saw it. I don't love it.
8 o'clock.
No.
8 o'clock, probably a puck drop at 8:15. Islanders
you don't understand what's happening right now in this house. Like, you don't even, like, you have no idea what's going on
well, what's
in this house right now. Milo has been like, I mean, this is, he's an Islander fan.
Is like he in the middle though? Is,
dude,
is
he like
directly
that kid in the
middle. That's in the midst of a divorce with the mother and father pulling him in different directions?
He's like Stretch Armstrong at the moment. I come down yesterday after the show. He's got a Lightning hat on. I'm like, what are you doing? He's like, oh, Nana and Papa. I was just on FaceTime with them. I'm like, no. We're not FaceTiming Nana and Papa right now. I know what they're trying to do. Oh yeah, don't worry. We got Milo a Lightning jersey we're gonna send, and we got Rocco a Lightning onesie that we're going to send. I'm like, no, this is not what we're doing right now.
I can't believe you allow this.
I didn't allow it. I said, no, this is my wife. She thinks it's funny.
So who is she rooting for?
She's rooting for the Islanders.
Mm-hmm. You sure about
that? So she says. So she says.
She also told you you look good with that hair and that
beard. Yeah, exactly right. I can't trust anything. It's like RJ's rundown now. I can't trust it.
She's like your home version of RJ Santillo.
I'm telling you right now, if on Sunday afternoon she comes rolling down with an Enrico Ciccone jersey on, it might be, I may end up at your house.
You're welcome over. You're welcome over. Dogs will maul you. Barkley will try to hump the heck out of you.
Oh, I like that.
Yeah,
I could use some action over. Moment.
So game two, Tuesday at 8. Now all the games can be heard right here on 98.7 ESPN. Game three, Thursday at the Coliseum, a nice late 8 o'clock start. And then we go to Saturday the 19th at the Coliseum at 8 o'clock start. And then Monday the 21st, Wednesday the 23rd, and then for the potential Game 7, which we have not seen from the Islanders this postseason yet, Friday, June 25th.
Can you imagine what the Coliseum is going to look like on Saturday night at 8 o'clock with the amount of tailgating?
No.
It's almost too much tailgating.
All banged up heading in.
All banged up. All banged up. I may just go for the tailgating.
Go for the tailgating. Get banged up. Have someone drive you home. And then watch it in your Tampa Bay Lightning house.
I haven't had one drink since this pandemic has started.
Really?
Not one.
Wow. Have you ever seen those like memes on Facebook and the internet? Would you give up alcohol? Never drink alcohol again for $100 million. I'm like, $100 million? I would do it for $1 million. Never drink alcohol again.
I think in the moment you lose track of how much money that actually is. Like, I bet if you asked that same question to somebody and you actually had the bag of $1 million and you just dumped it on the table, like just cash. Like if you like Floyd Mayweather style, you just said, I'll give you this bag of money and you dumped it on the table and it was $1 million to not drink, to not have a beer again for the rest of your life.
I would I wouldn't even think twice about that.
But isn't it so much different? I mean, you're a degenerate. Like what makes it makes it hard for me. Because I would notice it when we play cards on the plane, right? Like if we were playing, you know, hold 'em on the plane.
But it's not real money and you're just saying like $50, $100, $200.
Exactly right. If it's a sheet.
That's why chips in Atlantic City have no value because they're chips. That's
what I mean.
It's not actual money. Yeah, no. Listen, I get it.
You give me cash and I start throwing like I'm betting like and I see the $100 bill go out. I'm like, I don't know about that.
I know. That's real money. Now, if you offered me $1 million to not watch the Giants ever again, I would throw it back in your face. But to not drink a beer or any alcohol, I would accept it immediately.
A million tax-free dollars.
For
you
what?
Would say for the Giants. You would say
no way.
You would say no to it.
Zero chance.
$50 million tax-free.
Nope. I probably have to find a new wife because the one I have now would leave me. But zero chance I would take it. Zero chance.
$50 million.
I would not do it.
Time out. $50 million cash, tax-free.
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. You can't watch games. You can watch Giants highlights. Like you can watch, you could turn on SportsCenter and watch the Giants highlights. So go to NFL Network and watch the Giants highlights.
No, I can't watch any football at all except for highlights.
No, I'll give you NFL games, just not Giants games.
So I can't. No, I wouldn't do it.
No full game.
I wouldn't.
Just
do it.
Red zone. I'll just give you red zone.
You give me Giants red zone.
Yep. $50 million cash, tax free.
I don't think I would do
it. You have to.
I understand that it's probably the wrong decision, but I don't think I could do it. Do you understand what happens if it becomes close to me missing the kickoff of the game?
Nothing I can do! First down! Oh, my God.
Yeah, but here's what you could do, though, Dave.
Since I'm 8 years old.
But here's what you could do. You could write one of those fancy letters that you like to write to the Giants.
Yes.
And say, hey, I was just given $50 million cash.
Yes, it's 59!
And I'd like to put that money somewhere. You think maybe cut you a little, maybe you know, 25 mil or whatever, I get a piece of this ownership.
Yeah, but then I can't watch the team anyway. So what's
the
point? I said
TV.
Oh, there's a loophole.
That's what I'm saying. You got to find a loophole.
Oh, absolutely. I don't forget about even owning the team. Yeah, I would just go to the game. Of course.
I don't think people could understand. Like, you think, like, watching the Clippers games, that watching Steve Ballmer in the crowd is like over the top. I could not imagine you, like, if they pan to the Giants owner's box, what it would look like to see you live. They'd have to put a camera in the box that you could watch live.
They should have their own channel. If they, honestly, and I mean this sincerely, if there was a live YouTube feed during the Giants games solely panned on me, and you had to pay, I don't know, $9.99 per week, would you not do it?
I would much rather watch you watch a Giants game than the Untucked podcast. And I mean that with all respect.
I think that's fair.
And welcome aboard.
Because I've seen it. I mean, I've seen you in action. Like, me and Han are doing a show. You were at the station. You had something to do. You were actually in a suit and tie.
I was going to ABC to do, because the it was the first game. It was that when they had two Monday night games a couple of years back. It was the Giants and the Lions in the early game. And then ABC had time to kill before they got to the 11 o'clock news. So they had a Giants local postgame show, and I was on it.
I'm a big star, you know.
Yeah, and people always ask me, like, the most asked question I get is, like, is
more
Dave
than
serious?
Canty being immensely
yes.
cheap.
Yeah, yeah. I think clarinet, Canty being cheap, but it's, yeah. You know, Dave, is he that crazy with the Giants? And I said, no, I mean, we're probably underselling how crazy he is.
Yeah, it's crazy.
We're in the studio. You can't hear, in all honesty, like, that. How thick is that glass in the old studio?
It's soundproof.
It's like double soundproof glass, and we could hear you screaming in the other room watching the game was coming through the walls into the microphones. Where Dave had to get kicked out of the studio because we couldn't do a show because we could hear him through the microphones. Like, our microphones were picking up you screaming.
So people driving in their cars heard someone that sounded like they were getting murdered on the air.
What? Is somebody getting mauled in that studio?
Is a bobcat mauling a man live on the air?
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
I don't wake up at 4 a.m. to wear a swim shirt.
Looking for more access to the show? Follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at DCR on ESPN.
Here is Steve Nash after the game last night. We did have lots of chances to win this one.
Ample opportunities. We were back in the game the whole second half. We had a ton of good looks at the end of the game. Probably didn't execute as well as we'd like. We still got good looks. We didn't make any of them, it felt like. But just one of those nights where maybe we didn't execute well enough, didn't have enough poise, but plenty of stuff we can work on and get better at.
It felt like it took everything within their power to not win this game and let Milwaukee win this game last night. Like, the Nets were so bad for much of the game.
Yeah, it didn't feel like Milwaukee won the game. It felt like Brooklyn lost the game. Is what it felt like.
Perfect. Yes, you're 100% right. That's exactly what it felt like.
And by the way, too, you know who needed to be kicked out of that game last night? Was that security guard. So they got a flagrant, too. Did you see him come into that scrap with KD and Tucker?
Yeah.
And just bury Tucker? I thought it was a fan at first. Or like someone from the bench. It was the security guard.
Of that guy?
No, he almost actually made the situation worse trying to help. You know what? Have you remember the movie the Fighter? Was the Fighter? Was it the
with
Fighter?
Mark Wahlberg?
Yeah, remember that one?
Yes.
When the dad is chasing
about Mickey Ward, right?
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, I actually played in a golf tournament with. He's a good guy. But remember the scene in the backyard where Mickey's brother jumps out of the window and his dad's chasing him through the backyard.
Yep.
And then he punches him, and Mark Wahlberg's like, "Well, that's what happens when you come out running like a rhinoceros." That's what that reminded me. Like, he just came bombing in out of nowhere.
He did. It was not a well played game last night. And the Nets lost that one by a couple points. Why are they going to Bruce Brown down the stretch for big shots? Did that had to run through your mind last night? No,
he was so good in the first half.
I get it, but still, you have two of the best closers in the world, and you're going to Bruce Brown.
Yeah, I mean that's not, especially the last shot. I mean, that's not the guy you obviously want having, you know, the ball in his hands at that last shot. It was a bad inbounds pass. I mean, I give Lopez credit, though. I mean, he defended that well, but no, I don't disagree with you. Like, that's not who you want taking those shots, and he went ice cold. Ice cold.
It was terrible. He was bad down the stretch. But listen, I guess you give Milwaukee a little bit of credit, because when Durant hits that shot, the three, which was a sensational shot, and you actually did have 90 seconds of good offense there. You had Middleton hit a couple shots. Durant hit a couple shots. Nets go up three. And then Milwaukee scores, stops. Then the Nets can't score again. And then they hit a couple free throws to win it and score the last 6 points of the game. But again, it was just, I agree with you wholeheartedly. If I'm a Bucks fan this morning, I just feel like, you know what, we dodged the inevitable. We're not going to win the series, and yes, we just happened to win a game. And I think luckily at that.
Yeah, because I don't imagine that KD is going to shoot as poorly as he shot, or Kyrie. And, I mean, Joe Harris was, I mean, he was a non-factor.
Well,
I mean,
he was 1 for 11?
Yeah, I mean, and he's 0 for 6 in the second half. So, I mean, that's not getting it done. And he's been great for them. Been great for them, especially when he gets open, clean looks. And that was a huge look down the stretch. I mean, he had that mid-range jumper that would have put them up 3, and that would have been, you know, he makes that. I have a hard time believing that Brooklyn doesn't win the game.
Yep, here's Giannis. Wish they scored more points, but still looks at it. Win is a win.
It was a very low-scoring game, possession by possession. You had to get stops to win this game. You had to knock down big shots to win this game. And at the end of the day, when you play a basketball game and you win the game, you enjoy it. But I think we can play better. We can play better, play faster, we play more together, we can move the ball better, so we can get back to our scoring 110, 120 points like we usually do. But at the end of the day, if we can win a game by scoring 84, 86, I'll take it.
Listen, you won the game. I couldn't.
But you're not
going to
win. But what do you mean you take it? You're not going to win. I mean, that's back-to-back games. You scored 86. You're not going to win like that. You're not going to beat a Brooklyn Nets team by scoring 86 points.
You're not going to win the series. Forget it. They're not winning this series. There is no. It's just not going to happen. All this talk of Milwaukee's different and Drew Holiday and P.J. Tucker and they're bigger and they're tougher and they're a different team. They do not match up with Brooklyn. I don't know that anybody does, but they have no chance to win this series. None.
Yeah, I mean, I'm telling that was the biggest takeaway for me. I feel worse about Milwaukee's chances now that they won that game and how they won that game. Seriously, I mean, that's...
Milwaukee should have won that game by 25 points last night.
The way that Brooklyn shot? Absolutely. I don't even think that's a question, but outside of Middleton and Giannis, that was all they had offensively. That was it. I mean, you have two guys scoring almost 80% of your points.
I've never seen anything like it before. I've been watching basketball for 40 plus years. I have never seen in an NBA game two players score 68 of 86 points. The rest of the team scored 18 points combined.
Yeah, and it wasn't like, listen, I mean, I thought that Brook Lopez in the second half was a lot better, and defensively I thought he was good too, because they made some adjustments. Like, they didn't have him, you know, sagging off as much. Like, he was actually more active in the high screens, where he was actually up, you know, closer to the 3-point line. And I didn't think that they played, like, their defense was good. Like, they played good defense, but I didn't think it was because they played this great lockdown defense that they won. I just think that Brooklyn missed a lot of shots that they usually make. Like, KD missed a lot of shots that he usually makes.
If you're Milwaukee and you play like that in game 4, you will lose the game by 20-plus points.
Yes. Yeah. Actually, you know what? That game, and maybe this isn't a good comparison, but I kind of felt the same way about the Knicks-Hawks series when the Knicks won game 2. And I heard a bunch of different people say it. Was, yeah, the Knicks won, but the Hawks missed so many great looks. Like, they just missed open shots.
But I feel worse about this than I did about that.
Oh, well, of course, because it's Brooklyn. I mean, you saw the first two games. Like, you can't erase what you saw in the first two games. Like, you knew with the Brooklyn, I mean, with the Knicks-Hawks series, that was going to be, I mean, it ended up not being what we thought it was going to be. Well, we thought that would come down to, you know, last possession games. In a game 7. I don't think anyone feels that way about this series.
No. I honestly believe it. I think there is no chance Milwaukee wins this series. Would you not be stunned if the Bucks, forget about even winning, forced a game 7 moving forward here?
No, I'd be shocked. I would be shocked. And this is what we feel about. Here's what's crazy about this. We feel this way about this series, and we thought Milwaukee would be the biggest test.
Everyone said this is the Eastern Conference Finals right now.
Yes, this is not us. This is everybody. I mean, this is everybody saying the same thing. And we feel this way now, and that's without Jeff Green or James Harden playing, mm-hmm. which is insane to me. Like, if you get both of those guys back, especially James Harden.
I'm telling you, if you had Harden last night, you turn it off with 6 minutes to go in the fourth quarter. The game is over. It's a 15-20-point loss for Milwaukee, and the series is over.
Yeah, especially the way that James Harden, I mean, has facilitated the offense. You know what I mean? Like, He does such a good job. It reminds me of, like, there are certain players in the NHL, like, you know, certain guys when they have the puck on their stick, is they dictate the tempo of the game. Like, they can, you know, they decide when they want to slow it down. Like, it's their own pace. Like, Chris Paul does the same thing. Like, he knows when to speed it up, when to slow it down. Like, that's what James Harden does. Like, he knows exactly, you know, what he wants to do with the ball, you know, what positions he wants to put his teammates in. It would have been, with him on the floor in the game last, like, last night was a game where you would miss someone like James Harden.
Oh, terribly. And you know, Joe, here's the thing. Think about this now. You didn't have Harden. You didn't have Green. You were as bad as you could possibly be offensively. Joe Harris will never have a game that compares to that. You went to Bruce Brown down the stretch. You can't play worse as a team, and you lost by 3 points on the road.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, and you had a great opportunity late in that game, like you mentioned. I mean, KD hits that three, and then you had...
That was some shot, by the way, huh?
Yeah, it was a great shot. And Joe Harris had a clean look. And then, I mean, you can't all of a sudden, you miss your last four shots. Milwaukee makes, you know, scores the last 6 points. And that way, I mean, that's Middleton. That wasn't Giannis. I mean, that was Middleton down the stretch that closed out that game.
Absolutely.
I mean, Giannis... If I would ask you right now, who does Giannis remind you most of as a player?
Is it a current guy?
No, it's not a current guy, no. I don't think there's anyone right now that reminds me of Giannis.
Aminu Muhammad, baby.
Like, fairly current. I mean, he's not playing in the NBA now, but I mean, he's...
I don't know where you're going here. Give me a hint.
Well, no, I mean, just how physically, I mean, he's physically dominant, right? Like his,
yes.
I mean, Shaquille his size, O'Neal? His length. Yeah, he's like... I mean, that's the kind of... He's not really a... He's more of a five than he is a wing, you know? Like, he doesn't, like...
Well, he's not a great shooter.
No, he can't shoot free throws. He doesn't shoot well from the mid-range.
He's a freak athlete.
And that's why he's the Greek freak. Yeah, yeah, that's what he is. And then all of a sudden, I mean, that's why you saw Middleton close that game out last night.
And he was good down the stretch.
Well, yeah, because he can make those shots.
Made a couple of those shots, and he was good down the stretch. Speaking of, I mean, you would talk about the perfect segue. Closing a game out last night.
Oh.
I can't believe. I went to bed. I don't even know what time this game ended. Wake up this morning, look at my phone for just the other scores, and I'm like, wait, this must be wrong. Yankees couldn't have lost. First of all, they don't lose to the Twins. Second of all, they had command of the game when I went to bed. I think it was 5-2. There's no way they pitched Chapman. Then I look at the box score. Chapman blew the game. Then I look closely. 9 pitches. He allowed 4 runs on 9 pitches. This has to be the worst Yankees loss of the season last night, right?
Wow, the worst?
No?
The worst this season?
You had a commanding lead over the Twins, and then you handed it to the best, most consistent player you've had all year.
Yeah, but I mean, your friend, he looked bad.
Dreadful.
That's probably where it pushes to where you're at. I mean, it's like 9 pitches, like you mentioned, 2 of the longest home runs he's ever given up. Bombs. And his fastball looked... it didn't look like Chapman.
No.
It didn't.
That was not Aroldis Chapman. That wasn't the guy that we have been accustomed to all year.
No, that's not... he's entitled to having a bad night. I mean, but his... I mean, he's been electric this year, and his fastball didn't look great at all, and they jumped all over his fastball last night. All over it. I mean, that was 2 pitches to end the game. I mean, he threw 2 pitches. Like, so they tie the game up, and then next pitch, single...
Yep.
And the pitch after that, 2-run home run in this night-night termite.
How many times have you ever seen a closer allow 4 runs on 9 pitches? Have you ever? That does not happen.
On 4 hits.
Yeah, he was it was bad. I can't even tell you how bad of a loss that is last night, Rick. You need to win. You're desperate for wins. You have it. It's as much as sewn away being the Chapman is going to take the mound. The Red Sox win. So now you lose a game to them. The Rays have the Orioles over the weekend. You can't play Stanton, who's your hottest hitter, along with Judge right now, over the weekend, because that's too much. He can't have off Friday, play Saturday, Sunday in the field, and have off Monday. It's too much for him. So God knows how bad things are for him. And Chapman blew the game? Oh, brutal last night.
Yeah, this will be one of those games that you look back at, right? Like, if God forbid the Yankees lose the AL East or miss out on the wild card because... a couple games or one game. This would be one you look back at and say, God, this is one of those ones we let slip away.
That was gruesome. Here's Aaron Boone. What went wrong in the ninth inning last night, Aaron?
Clearly wasn't Jappy's night. I mean, obviously, he's been as good as there's been in the sport. And I just think, you know, his fastball lacked a little bit of life tonight and up against, obviously, at the top of their order, some really good fastball hitters.
Now, there's a soundbite here that says, how disappointing is it to end the series like this? I have not heard it. If I have to hear Aaron Boone say, Chapman's been great all year long, and LeMahieu got some hits, and we were good offensively this series, and King gave us a really good start last night, I'm going to lose it. Come out and honestly say, you know what? That loss stings terribly. What do you think we're going to get when we listen to this?
Track record would say positive. I mean, there were some positives, though. I mean, I hate to sit here and try to be overly optimistic, but there were some positives.
You played the Twins.
No, I get it. I mean, that's a Major League Baseball team, though. I mean, they get paid like you do.
I understand that, but you had the game done. If you would have gone out last night and lost, and you know King allows four runs and Hap pitches decently, and you lose that game like generically 5-4, all right, you know what? No big deal. The way you lost that game last night is horrendous.
Yeah, it's awful. I would be gutted. I mean, this is one of those ones. If I'm Aaron Boone and I'm in that situation and I know how desperate we are for wins right now, I would be. This is one that I had.
That was a troubling loss.
But especially with how good Chapman's been. Like, I'm already.
He's been the best.
I'm already putting this in the W column.
It's over.
For us.
It's done. So you think we have positive spin Boone here, right?
Yeah, positive spin.
All right, let's take a listen. How disappointing is it to end the series like this?
Yeah, it stings. I mean, no two ways about it. You know, especially on a night when we did a lot of things really well and scored five runs, but felt like, you know, the at-bats from everyone up and down the order, you know, continuing the hard contact, we couldn't build that lead. You know, it seemed like we had chances, you know, to kind of break that game open all night. Gio stings a couple balls in the gap. Same with DJ. So frustrating that we couldn't add on, especially with the quality of bats we're having. But no question, this one stings, and we got to get past it and build on, you know, some of the momentum, some of the small things that we're starting to do really well.
Oh God, he is so optimistic; it makes me nauseous.
That is one of those games, though, that it felt watching it. It's like you just let Minnesota just hang around.
Yeah, you should have blown that game wide open. How do they call that a home run, by the way, by Gittens?
That poor guy. I mean, that's his first hit, too. They let him run the bases and everything.
He runs the bases. He's celebrating. He's all happy. And then, no, that was fouled by a lot.
Yeah, we're going to need you back. Well, how about the umpire last night? It was you had Polanco get hit by the pitch. And he's like, Polanco's like, that hit me. He's like, just don't, you sure that hit you? He's like, yeah, it hit me. He's like, don't lie to me. He's like, yeah, but hit me. Okay, take first.
Yeah. Well, we're going to work on the honor system here. And if you tell me,
well, that's
you,
what it was.
I will believe you.
And then Cruz hits. He catches interference. The umpire doesn't really see it, but Cruz reacts to it, and he's like, okay, you hit the glove? Okay, all right, take first.
you sure?
You sure about it? Don't lie.
Be honest with me. Listen, we're working on a trust system here. Sean and Ron Konkema. Sean's not happy, and he shouldn't be. Good morning, Sean. You're on 98.7 ESPN.
Morning. Just want to clarify something real quick. This is my real voice. I'm not Witness Protection Dave. Last time, I remember you said I was Witness Protection.
Because I love your voice, but it sounds like you're in Witness Protection.
I appreciate it, brother. But that's a stinger, man. Last night, you know, just Chapman on nine pitches. You know, if you could incorporate, you know, some off speed like the splitter he's been throwing all year, like to make him electric, that could have been done. You could pitch around those two, you know, Donaldson and Cruz. They're no slouches. I know it's the Twins, but those guys, you know, Donaldson's former MVP, and Cruz should have won an MVP down in Texas. But you know, two bombs off of fastballs and. And, you know, I'll give him a pass. It's the second blow save of the year, but, you know, that's definitely one that'll definitely take the wind out of your sails. And, you know, as far as Brooklyn, man, look, the fact that they came back from 21 points and lost by three, I'm not really too worried about them. You know, can you imagine if they had Harden or even LaMarcus Aldridge if he didn't get hurt? Like, forget about it. No. So, but thanks, guys. Have a good day, bro.
Thanks, Sean. Yeah, I don't think you have anything to worry about when it comes to Brooklyn. And, again, I'm not blaming Chapman. I'm not sitting here saying Chapman was so awful and he's to blame. I'm just saying that's an awful loss for the Yankees. He's been great this season, and he's entitled to a game like that. But the loss is terrible. And I also don't want to sit here, Rick, and start saying if he throws the splitter, if his pitch selection, he's overpowering typically, and he was not that guy last night.
No, but I mean, he works, you know, all those you know, his other two pitchers work off him having a dominant fastball. I mean, his velocity and his movement. See, that's the thing that people need to understand, though, with this whole, you know, sticky stuff, spider attack, and everything else. It's about the extra added life. You always hear, like, Coney talking about it, right? Is that late life. Like, there's two different ones, right? If you throw a flat fastball or you have one with late life. The flat one, it don't matter how hard you throw it. Guys are good enough where they're going to, I mean, they're going to time it up and they'll be able to hit it. It's the fastball with the late life. Like, that looks like it's kind of riding up in the zone. That's tough to hit. And he was 96, 97 throwing flat fastballs.
Yeah, no, that's not him. He's 101. I mean, he was 5-6 miles an hour less on his fastball than he typically is. Now, Pedro Hernandez tweets in, the worst loss of the season was getting swept by Detroit. That was awful. Yeah, that was an awful series. But as far as an individual
Yeah, but that's pretty
loss,
bad. Yeah, I mean, Pedro's not wrong, though. That's pretty bad. I mean,
but
to get swept by Detroit, that started.
What stands out is the game that was horrendous in that series. You just were awful that entire series. But you didn't
Well, that's because you're trying to forget that series, because, I mean, that's what set you on this tailspin.
But it's not like you had a 5-2 lead against a team that you own.
Well, here's what makes it worse, though. That Donaldson is the one that hits the game-tying home run.
Yeah, he crushed that ball.
I still think they missed an opportunity.
To what? To go after him?
If I'm Kreske, I would have thrown at him. I would have. I can't stand that guy. Aggravates me for some reason. Like, that's it. Like, I get it. Like, you're frustrated that, you know, pitchers are using this stuff. But have those conversations with your union, like, behind closed doors. You're going to start airing people out?
He did. He went right after. He obviously doesn't like Cole, right? Obviously.
Oh, this, I don't know what's going on. I mean, he just says this, well, Cole was the first one that he saw.
But stop it. Come on. If you really liked the guy or had ultimate respect for the guy, even if he was the first one you saw, you wouldn't go after him like that. You wouldn't do it.
No, I mean, but that's just in general, though. I mean, they're like baseball, we have the unwritten rules and everything else. I mean, but there's something to be said about, like, I mean, you're not teammates, but you're all, you know,
yeah, it's
playing the same sport. Yeah, yes. Exactly right. Start airing everyone out. I mean, these are conversations. Like, yeah, everyone wants to have an even playing field. Like, you know, pick up the phone, call Tony Clark, have these conversations. Like, we got to clean this thing up. Don't start ratting on guys. It's not a great look.
No, it's not a great look at all. But listen, you can say that about baseball up and down right now. That's not a great look. The game is not a great look. The strike zone is not a great look. The replay is not a great look.
There's an easy way to fix it, in my opinion.
What? Fix it.
I think you go automated strike zone, which I think they're going to do.
I want that desperately.
And then I think you give less on the higher end of the strike zone. If you want to widen it a little bit, but you got to bring it down. Because that right now clearly is the pitch that's causing the most problems for hitters.
The high strike.
Yeah, I mean, that's the pitch they can't hit.
You got to automate.
And it's not
the
like
strike zone.
But it's not like overnight these guys can change. I mean, these guys have spent how many years now with, you know, with launch angle and everything else? That's something you can't just fix overnight. Like, that takes a minute. So you're going to still have pitchers exploit that until, you know, hitters can find a way to fix it. I don't know. You just want more action. I mean, that's what everyone wants.
It's
more
slow,
action.
It's bland, it's boring, and it's game after game after game, too. I don't know. I don't know what they do, but we have to automate the strike zone and soon.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
I have nothing left.
Hear more of DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg live weekday mornings from 5 to 8 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play ESPN New York 98.7.